Oh hey, I'm Emily and this is my best friend Rachel.
Hey, I'm Rachel, and in 2010, aged 18 and fresh out of secondary school,
we went on a gap year, travelling to 5 countries in 5 months.
Shockingly, it didn't always go so well. We lost passports,
ran out of money,
jumped out of aeroplanes,
and landed ourselves in endless ridiculous scenarios.
But what we also managed to do is write a blog about our experiences.
And without smartphones or Instagram at our disposal, this blog is the only record we have of the trip of our young lives.
And 11 years on, we're reliving it all by reading back over our diary entries for your listening pleasure.
Welcome to the Gap Year Diaries podcast.
Okay, cool. Oh, God. Okay, cool. I think I actually said that today in teaching with my year 9.
Oh, wow.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool, guys. Rad. Like, totally wicked.
Totally,
oh, God,
cool, I bet they were, man.
So into that.
Oh, yeah. No. I will. Sorry. Jump in on say. So I teach finance to many different schools in the South. That's what I do. And I was teaching today a year 9 class, and there was a girl there. Anyway, I asked the question to the group, why would you put money into a bank? Like, why is that important? And this girl said to me, so you can rob them. And I wasn't quite sure how to respond to this. So I decided to question her, like, what do you mean? She's like, well, so I can rob the banks. I was like, okay. So I moved on and blanked her and went to speak to someone else. And she literally turned around to me and said, miss, that was meant to be a joke. And I went, oh, it's okay, I'm just not very funny, and just moved on.
Well, I mean, Rachel, come on. You're doing yourself a disservice. I love how her theory of how bank robberies work is that you spend a number of years investing and building up a sort of like current account. Like, you're like, yes, these savings are really, really racking up, and then you're like, right, time to rob my own bank. No, sweetheart, no. Not the idea.
I don't really understand. Yeah, so that was my day. What are you? I mean, how are you? Not what are you?
What are you?
What are you?
What am I?
Carbon-based life form, actually.
Sure. Today I am sad because look what's happened to my terrarium, Rachel.
Oh my gosh, it's vanished. Where did it go?
I'm showing Rachel what used to be. If anyone doesn't know what a terrarium is, I mean, I can't be bothered to explain. You'll have to just Google it. But basically, it's like a glass vessel that has a small kind of garden inside it.
And like, are you going in and explain what it is?
I'm not going to explain, but here's an incredibly detailed explanation. A few months ago, I went to, because I live in London and I'm a wanker, I went to a terrarium making workshop in East London, of course. And I was so proud of my terrarium, and I was told that you don't need to care for it at all. You just need to, like, just literally nothing. You just need to look at it. But mine slowly died before my very eyes over the last 4 months. I have so many plants in my room that are resplendent, nothing short of resplendent. And yet ones that don't need any care and just are to be left alone, just wither and die. I don't know what to read into that.
I don't know.
But yeah, I'm just left with this. I'm still holding this up to Rachel. I'm still left with this just like empty sort of glass jar that I don't. Now I'm just like, well, what do I do with this? Like, maybe I'll get into like ship modelling or something.
Oh yeah, maybe. Or you could fill it with fairy lights and be very 2010.
That's cute. I want to fill it with something. What? I don't know.
Hopes, dreams.
Well, those are in short supply at the moment, Rachel, unfortunately. Maybe I'll put coins in it, although I don't ever have coins.
No one has coins these days, do they?
No, well, I was trying to explain this to my mum the other day, because like my mum, bless her, like I bought something for her. Did I tell you this story? She tried to pay me back with a fiver, and I was literally like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? And she was like, it's a fiver. I was like, mum, I live in London. Like, people would laugh me out the door if I tried to pay me.
We'd still accept cash. We still accept cash.
It's legal tender. No, I know.
It's
I know.
Legal
I was
tender.
Just being stupid. It was being.
Oh
stupid.
No! But of course, no. Absolutely.
I just feel embarrassed almost to pay with cash. Like I feel like it's such an imposition to everyone. But everyone's like, okay. Like people literally look at you like, oh my god, are you from the past? It's like you've paid with doubloons or like a goat or something, and everyone's like, thanks. I'll just get the change.
Or cows
and they go out
and
to their
shells.
Manager like, help me.
Yeah, I don't know how to do this anymore.
I don't know what to do. What do I press?
I tell you what. I do have a little financial fact. Chris called me riveting the other day when I was telling him financial facts. He's like, Rachel, this is riveting conversation. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to do one take of Rachel's financial facts. Okay, go.
Okay, my financial fact is less than 1% of the UK use cash. And that's my fact.
That's a great fact. I'm going to fucking text that to my mum immediately.
It's a good one, isn't it? It's a good fact. And the most cashless country is Canada, though I'm sure it was Sweden, but nope, it's Canada.
Okay.
In Canada.
Well, good anyway. For them. Anyway, let's press on. Anyway. Why we're all here. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's go for it.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Hello again. Welcome to the second episode of Series 3, Chili. If you're new here, just to catch you up, we are two best friends from the UK, neither of whom use cash, rereading our unbelievably effusive blogs from when we went travelling 12 years ago, currently reliving our time in the third country of our trip, Chile. So you can follow us if you like, and I would encourage you to do so, on Instagram at Gap Year Diaries Podcast. You can follow us on TikTok at Gap Year Diaries Podcast, and you can follow us on Facebook at Gap Year Diaries Podcast.
Awesome. Thank you, Emily, for those socials. So a recap on last episode, which was the first episode in this new season. Last week, we heard all about our chaotic and at times quite unsettling journey across the border from Peru into Chile, and ended the episode reminiscing on our high-spirited, sugar-fueled adventures, annoying copious other hostel guests with Nutella and pineapples. That's a weird combo.
A lethal combination. So just to overview today's episode, today we are going to reread our blog entry from the oceanside surfer city of Iquique in Chile, whereby we accidentally get swept up in the frenetic crowds of festival day.
Yes, I do remember this very, very well.
Great. It's always a good start when Rachel remembers what we're talking about. That's when you know you're in for quite the treat.
I remember specific details nobody else would want to remember. That's what I like
that
to remember.
That is so unbelievably true.
So true. This week's blog was written by Emily, and as usual, we've changed the pronouns so it makes sense when read in each of our voices. So yeah, it's written by Emily, but when read by me, it sounds like it's coming from my voice. Anyway. After two uneventful days staying at the Sunny Days Hostel in Arica, Em and I were very much ready to yet again pack up our crap into our tired backpacks and jump on another bus, this time only for 4 hours, and continue our journey deeper into delightful Chile. Our next destination, roughly circled in black biro on the ripped map of South America printed in the front of good old Lonely Planet, was the city of Iquique. So yeah, you have described here, Em, that it is the surfer's paradise city. Kind of gave me feels of a bit of Miami feels.
Yeah, I had those vibes, of course. I think, like, obviously Chile is very long and geographically narrow, so a lot of Chile is on the coast. But so I would imagine, although I don't know this to be fact, but I imagine that the surfing in Chile is pretty tip-top, because this was, like, clearly, like, one of the hotspots for surfing, wasn't it? Like, everyone there was, like, completely, like, boarded up? No, that's not the phrase. Boarded up. Like an old
nails
shop.
And wood.
Yeah. You know when you're like, brain, come on, I need to say something that makes sense. And your brain's like, no, we're going to go with this nonsensical phrase. And you're like,
all
brain, like,
the time.
Yeah, that's literally my entire life. Everyone was carrying a surfboard. Well, not everyone, but lots of people were carrying surfboards. Everyone was like, yeah, wetsuited up is more accurate. But yeah, it had a very chill, laid-back vibe. It was quite windy, I guess, which is quite, you know, necessary for a surfer's city because of the waves and such. As you can see, my surfing knowledge is really incredible. But yeah, it was very cool. I think both of us were like, whoa, when we arrived. We were really into it.
I really want to ask you, Em, as a Please. friend, I feel like I should know this, but have you been surfing before?
I have indeed been surfing before.
Yes, have you indeed. Have
A grand total of how many times? Four or five times.
Oh no. No, when did you surf? Really trying to think. When did you surf?
We're just like,
oh my
god.
Surfing?
So the first time I ever surfed was the world renowned surfers location of Joss Bay near Margate in Kent. And when I say surfed, I use the term incredibly loosely. I essentially had a surfing lesson and there were literally no waves at all. So essentially it was just me lying on a surfboard on like completely still waters, just kind of like floating like a bit of driftwood.
Like Jack and Rose and Titanic vibes.
Yeah, exactly like that. Exactly like that. And I would have also not let anyone else on my surfboard. But yeah, it was that was the first time I ever surfed, but I don't know if that really counts. And then after that I've just surfed quite a lot in Wales.
Yes, that has flooded back to me. Was that the stuff that you did? So you haven't did you surf abroad somewhere?
I kept my surfing to British coastlines.
That's very brave. It must mean so cold.
I'm very patriotic about my surfing. Keep surfing in Britain. I'm the Nigel Farage of surfing.
Oh my god. Imagine him in little like bungees. No, what are they called? Budgies?
Bungees.
Budgie smugglers.
I feel like you...
Budgie smugglers.
I feel like you're going for budgie smugglers, but Rachel, the first rule of surfing is, my darling, that you wear a wetsuit. So the budgie smugglers, thankfully, would not be visible. But we don't really need to carry on talking about Nigel Farage wearing budgie smugglers or wetsuits. I mean, we could.
Yeah. We very much
could take this podcast in a different direction. We'll do a spin-off series. Anyway, should we carry on? You've never surfed, have you? Sorry, let's move on.
No, I actually have only surfed once. The first time though, I did some bodyboarding when I was 16, and my cousin and sister were deeply ashamed of me because I kept screaming over nothing, because something about waves and being knocked over them when I have equipment by me, I don't like it. If it's just me faffing about, that's fine, but if I've taped to something or I could get under it and be sucked under, it really freaks me out. I don't like it. But I did go surfing in Bali, and the
much
instructor said
surfing.
well I wasn't acting cool, because the very cool surfing instructor said to me, please stop screaming. Like, he was actually getting irritated and his ears were hurting. And when I said screaming, there was nothing to be afraid of, because it was white surf that I was getting freaked out by. There was nothing.
Please stop screaming. Rachel, because I'm a massive, massive narcissist, I keep a list on my phone of the different titles that of things that could be titles for my autobiography. And I think you can have that one. Please stop screaming.
Okay, thank you.
Rachel Hunter, the autobiography.
Please stop screaming. Excellent, I will. But the good news is I did manage, after a good hour of calming down, to successfully stand up. Although the woman who has been watching people learn to surf for so long, because she was our tour guide, said never had she seen my technique. And Max, so we have a friend called... we have a friend called Max who is a surf instructor. And he looked at it and he said, Rachel, you look like a dog that's about to go for a wee before you get into it. Why do you stick your leg out at 90 degree angle? Like, you don't need to. But I did, and I did stand up for a few seconds, which felt great.
Well, to be fair, to stand up on your first lesson is really, really like quite commendable. So I would not question your technique.
I tried many times. The girls, other girls were dropping out. I was like, nope, I'm going to stand up on this surfboard by hook or by crook. It's going
to
happen.
Again, no surprises. What we should do though is continue to read this blog, because that was quite the
task. Let's go. All right. Okay. I'm back on. So the drive on the musty coach was made all the more tiresome due to the fact that the driver had thought it a good idea to whack on a video showing a montage of literally every hit from the 90s, each one flowing into the next, which lasted the entire journey. It was so booming and intrusive, booming, love that word, that not even my iPod on full volume could drown out the strains of Take That and Wet, Wet, Wet.
Brilliant. Oh my god, like this, like at the time we obviously got annoyed about this, but this legit sounds like something that I would now absolutely love. Like, in fact, it sounds very much like how I get through my average working day, is to just listen to like back-to-back hours of 90s hits.
Why were you so hateful towards it?
I don't know. I really don't know. But I do remember that, like, this is one of those things that I have a really vivid memory of. I remember getting on that coach. And it's always so hilarious when you have, like, onboard entertainment, because it's never, like, announced. Like, you're never expecting it. You just sit down and you're like, right, okay, time to go. Time to, like, get settled into this coach journey. It's going to be a few hours. And then just a screen just comes on, and just whatever the whim of, like, I don't know who organised it, the driver or the, I doubt there's some person on board whose job is onboard entertainment. That seems like a massive waste of resources. But whoever organises it is like, today I think we're going to watch XYZ. And you're like, Apocalypse Now. And you're just like, okay, fine, I guess. Like, regardless of whether you're in the mood for it or whatever, it's going to be in your life and you won't be able to ignore it. And this, for this 4 hours, it was literally just like one, like, 90s video flowing into the next 90s video. And I was like, what the actual hell? Like, why? But yeah, but now I would gladly, I'd stay on that coach, I'd go all the way back, and yeah, I'd love it.
I wonder if there was any Shakira or Britney on there. I would have perked up to those tracks.
I think Shakira, if I'm not mistaken, and I very rarely am when it comes to music, would be probably more 2000s than 90s. But Britney could well have been on there.
No, Britney got 1998. Was it her first track?
Or seven? Sure. Right.
We'll check that back. Anyway.
But anyway.
Let's. And just to clarify, we're on the coach heading towards the city. Right. Once Chesney Hawkes and countless other 90s icons had crooned their hearts out, however, we arrived. And for the record, the DVD had still not reached its end. We were glad to leave that particular piece of onboard entertainment behind. Our amazing beachy surface paradise hostel was only a taxi ride away. It's fair to say that Em and I were eternally sorry on entering our little upper floor dorm, fluffy striped duvets looking massively inviting, an idyllic beach view balcony just across the corridor, that we were not staying for longer than one night. Oh, what are my memories of this hostel?
Your memories of this hostel?
Pretty bohemian from what I remember. Bohemian, cool, looked very, very cozy, which I was happy with. I think it was quite colourful as well, clean. And that's what I remember. And we were sharing, weren't we, with two girls who I have fond memories sharing. Of. That was really fun.
I think there were two girls in there. I think there were probably more people in the dorm, but I think the two girls were the ones that we sort of like latched onto. But I remember it being like in a sort of like, I was about to say in a tower, which is obviously very like Brothers Grimm. Like, that's not really actually what it was. I remember you had to go up a sort of spiral staircase to get to it. Like, it was a very like unique sort of architecture. But I do remember like looking out, like it had an amazing view over the ocean.
Yes, it did. It had a wonderful view. We were really lucky to get this lovely, lovely hostel. Lucky. So this dreamy hostel, in fact, had only two major drawbacks, as opposed to the million and one we were faced with in our usual budget hostel choices. These were the fact that Em's lower bunk was unusually close to the bottom of mine, so that she had to perform some sort of 007 duck and roll to get in it, and the fact that the bathrooms featured curious shower cubicles that contained toilets within them. I remember being like, but mum, like on the phone later to like, the toilet's right underneath the shower, like it's right there.
I feel so like confused. That might be one of those things where like it's probably quite commonplace, but like we had only seen it that one time and we were like, what?
Like, yeah, what is going on?
It's a bit weird to see for the first time. But the thing I loved more so than the shower toilet cubicles was how close my bottom bunk was to your top bunk. I remember that so clearly. I remember being like, is this like a bed that I meant to sleep in? I had to basically like make myself 2D to like slot into the little hole. I was like, heaven forfend, if I fidget around in the night, I'm going to like smash my face into Rachel's bunk. But yeah, I do remember that. I think we got a picture of it, but I know because I saw it. I looked at the picture of it the other day and you really can't tell from this picture that like the perspective doesn't do it justice. It just kind of looks fairly normal, but like I really do remember it was so close. It was so strange.
I really want to see this picture. So you've got that picture?
I've got it, yeah.
Okay, so I shall continue. The rest of the day was spent wandering on the chic seafront, chatting to two Canadian girls that were sharing our room and standing in the queue at the night bus station for about half our lives, waiting to buy tickets to La Serena for tomorrow. Oh yeah, I do remember that one as well. Remember that long wait. And after the comfiest and most snuggly sleep since we've left home, all cozy in the voluminous duvets, Em and I were very much ready for our only full day in Iquique. And what a day we had unwittingly chosen. Little did we know, until we were casually informed by the hostel receptionist, it was the city's annual festival day. As to what this entailed, we could only speculate, but it took a serious amount of time, dexterity, and dodging around various hordes of spectators, young children, school kids, selling burgers, marching bands, and Barney the Dinosaur. before we even got to the end of the seafront and into the main town.
Presumably it was someone in a Barney the Dinosaur costume and not actual Barney himself. Although I do appreciate that Barney the Dinosaur is someone in a Barney the Dinosaur costume. It's all very meta. Maybe it was the actual, like, legit original Barney and he'd, like, you know, flown over to make an appearance. Maybe they'd paid him a lot of money. we can't say. We don't know. But he was there and he was loving it.
Quite a throwback. I mean, was that program still going on, going ahead, Barney the Dinosaur,
going ahead.
In 2010?
Were they still going ahead with it? Had it been renewed for another series? I don't know. I do remember watching it when I was younger. Probably not in 2010, let's be honest. But yeah, it was quite a throwback and also, yeah, just slightly odd and jarring, but we rolled with it as we always do.
Yeah, we carried on. Barney and Chili, why not? Well, a large part of the festival day also seemed to be about a billion little stalls and stands selling all manner of items set up all over the main square. I remember it being very tight with people, very woven.
Yes.
Everyone is, you know, every single person seemed to be down there, seemed to be the event of the day. Event of the year.
Well, it absolutely was the event of the day.
It was event of the day, that's true.
Could well have also been the event of the year, we don't know. But yeah, you're right, it was very, very busy. There were lots of crowds. I remember it was quite like, it was one of those times where it was quite like tricky to sort of walk through them. But it was fun. There was a really fun atmosphere. Everyone was in good spirits. There was music playing. I think we picked a good day to go, even though we did it completely by accident, of course. Okay, time for me to read.
Mm-hmm.
Woohoo! Okay. As enchanting as being screamed at to purchase bracelets, posters, woolen socks, and large inflatable dogs was of a morning, Rach and I grew weary of it after a while, and so decided to try and find somewhere for luncheon. What, like, why say luncheon?
Such I like it.
Luncheon. Very Jane Austen. Yeah, luncheon. Just stupid. In a frustrating turn of events, during this, the most bustling and busy day of Iquique's social calendar, we could not find a single restaurant or cafe that appeared to be open.
Oh, yeah.
I love how I get really, like, angry with the cafe owners of Iquique for, like, missing out on this profit-making opportunity, like a sort of young Alan Sugar. Like, what the hell are you doing? You're missing a fucking opportunity. Smell what sells. Like, maybe the restaurant and cafe owners wanted to enjoy festival day for themselves, Emily. It wasn't like there was a shortage of food options. There were so many stalls. But I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake. I think we just wanted
to sit down as well. I think I do remember it being quite hot and like we were on our feet for quite a lot of it. But yeah, it is quite unusual. Yeah, you would think that. I tend to agree with that. But yeah, I think there were just a lot of stands with food and it's like, well, come on, like this is where the food is. You got to go with it. That's fine.
Yeah, I think every now and then, like I'm very like left-wing liberal person, but every now and then my like inner capitalist really like rages out and I'm like, you are missing an opportunity. It's like, wow. I was talking the other day, like my mum has a shop, as I might have referenced before. She talked about it herself, didn't she, when she came on? But anyway, yeah, my mum has a shop and we were talking about the other craft shop in the town where her shop is, and we were saying about how that craft shop closes for an hour every day for lunch. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of a shop closes for lunch? Like, that's such a stupid thing to do. I was really, like, absolutely mind blown by this. And I was telling my colleagues about it today. And they were like, Emily, I think, like, it's quite nice, isn't it? Like, give them a break. It's like, no, they're missing the passing footfall of lunchtime. Absolute morons. They're all fired. I just couldn't deal.
Oh, my gosh.
And they were like, well, what do you do when you have lunch and when you work in your mum's shop? I was like, you eat it behind the counter like a normal person. Like, you just like get duck down, have a bite of your sandwich and stand up again. And they were like, okay, you are a little bit unhinged.
You're having no time for this.
No way.
Alan Frost sugar.
Oh God, Alan Frost sugar. Eventually, after about an hour of wandering aimlessly up and down several back streets, we found an open restaurant that served pizza. Two facts we very much enjoyed. Some things we didn't enjoy, however, were the pizzas themselves. Oh no.
Oh.
After a confusing conversation with the waitress, during which I informed her that I was vegetarian, and she retorted by telling me that they had chicken. We were eventually served portions which appeared to be from the kids' menu size-wise. Yeah, I mean, I think I had found it thus far fairly straightforward to be vegetarian, but I think I'd found it straightforward to be vegetarian in the kind of way where I would just eat like just food that wasn't meat, in like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was just eating like bread and pasta. I wasn't like eating a good diet, basically. Like, if you go to like Southeast Asia, because like and obviously a lot of India, because vegetarian cuisine is like so part of the culture, you can eat like obviously incredibly well, probably better than meat eaters, because it's so catered for. But I think South America is quite a meat based, maybe, and this again probably has changed because veganism is like such a hugely like a huge growing industry now, but at the time, South America was still quite a sort of meat-focused cuisine base. So I think I did sometimes like make attempts at like vegetarian
guinea
options.
Pigs and alpacas and other things that, you know, that's local to them.
We were eventually served portions which appeared to be from the kids' menu size-wise. This fact was made all the more frustrating by the sight of a couple at the only other occupied table in the restaurant, each tucking into a hearty plate-sized pizza. Yeah, I mean, it was clearly a bit of a slow news day in Iquique, which, like, this whole paragraph is so fucking dry and boring. Like, what a dry paragraph of just pizza chat. Like, who in God's name cares about this kind of stuff? But anyway, as always, I documented it down for posterity.
We've got it down. And also, you were probably thinking as well that it was quite frustrating not to be able to eat and have more options. As well, to be fair, I mean, when we were back traveling, you saying you were vegetarian, it wasn't hugely common when we were meeting people either. Like, I feel that nowadays, as you said, like, veganism is such a growing industry that now it would be almost the other way around, to be like, oh, actually I go traveling and I do eat meat, because people don't like to eat meat as well for health and hygiene reasons. They tend to avoid that a little bit, and vegetables seem to be the safer option for like dodgy stomachs and so on.
I've never really bought into that, to be honest. I think it's a common misconception. I think, like, if you go traveling, like, the best thing to eat is the local cuisine, because, like, it's, you know, it just is. I don't really know. It's hard for me to comment on, obviously, as a vegetarian. Like, I haven't really eaten meat when I've been traveling, obviously, so I don't really know. But yeah, I think, I mean, I'd made my own bed, you know, like, I had been stupid enough to decide to become vegetarian just before going traveling in South America. Like, that was very much my own stupid decision. Like, it was probably a better thing to do to, like, have my last sort of, my last hurrah of meat, sort of glorious, I go out with a glorious sort of meat bang, like, through South America, where the meat is, like, world famously incredible, and then become vegetarian. But no, I did it a stupid way, and yeah, I think, like, largely it was fine. I don't remember it being too much of a struggle, but it really
and then all the tour guys accommodated that as well. And
yeah, absolutely.
I remember
we
would make sure we would find a place that did have vegetarian food for you. And I also like to think that I never intentionally put you into a situation where I mocked you for not having it, or I made you have it just because it would be easier. I don't remember doing anything like that. I actually really admired that, and I thought, I don't think I have that in me. And still to this day, I'm a lot more vegetarian and I eat a lot more plant-based meat, but I know I can never cut it out entirely from my life. I just see it as a reduction. It's really going off on a tangent there, but I think it's interesting to talk about.
It is interesting to talk about, of course. It was also during this meal that I discovered the delightful fact that my iPod had been stolen, presumably whilst we were busy being swept up in the festival day crowds. As irritating as this fact was, and as bleak as two more months with only Rachel's pop extravaganza iPod to fulfill my music craving seemed, I could not get too upset, as there really was no recourse I could take. So onwards we pressed. I love that. Like, such a weird way to write about it.
I think you were just trying to, at the point, still process the fact that you didn't have your iPod.
Clearly processing it, like, clearly on the edge of, like, extreme rage, being like, there's no point. Rein it back in. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, like, if you're in crowds, wherever you are in a city, like, there's a chance of something getting stolen from you. It's just a fact of life. But obviously, like, I was a bit like, meow, because I'd, like, relied on that iPod so much to, like, pass by coach journeys. But you know, it's fine, because most coaches would just show me a sort of like a never-ending reel of 90s videos anyway. But yeah, I was obviously a bit pissed off. By now we had had our fill of festival fun, and apart from stopping to enjoy a quick one-man band show, we made our way down to the quieter end of the seafront and settled down on a wall to watch the tide roll away, much like Otis Redding would have done if he had been there.
Is that the one he did, Dock of the Bay? Is that who sang Dock of the Bay? Yay, yeah. I got that right!
That's why I've written it, Rachel.
Yeah, but I didn't know who that was, but I know the song. Just kind of hopping back to when you had your iPod stolen, I think because of all the stress and trauma of me having my passport stolen, it was a bit like, well, at least it's not a passport, we don't have to go to an embassy. But at the same time, I really felt for you having that stolen, because I knew that was like your pride and joy. And if anyone should have had it stolen, it should have been mine, because I didn't use it half as much as you use yours. And bless you. Oh, bless you. When I said, I think one of us said you can listen to mine. And I think you had asked. I said, yeah, but I'm fine. But honestly, I don't think you're going to enjoy it. And you're like, no, I'll just sit on your shoulder and just kind of listen in. I was like, oh God, you're going to hate everything that I play. And you did. You actually gave up after 10 minutes. Yep, I can't do this anymore. And just handed the earpiece back. Oh, I felt so bad.
This was how we spent most of the rest of the afternoon, apart from a brief period of heart-wrenching upset as one of the billions of stray dogs that we had encountered in Chile wandered over to us, hoping for attention/food/a home. After some mangy petting, we left him alone with tears in our eyes and then mooched back to the awesome hostel to collect our bags and meandered down to a cafe which appeared to be attached to the swanky hotel just down the road.
Was it a Cocker Spaniel by any chance, that dog?
No.
No.
Absolutely not. Oh. I don't think those are the kind of dogs as a pedigree Cocker Spaniel. No, it was like a breed of about 6,000 different heritages. As most stray dogs are. But it was very cute, I do remember. I think we did have a picture of it, but I couldn't find it the other day.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame. We had been made aware of this magnificent hotel cafe by the two girls sharing our room. As promised, the cafe was amazing, and we were lucky enough to meet a lovely couple at the table next to ours, comprising a man from France and a woman from Newcastle. I love how I say Newcastle, not just the UK. A man from the whole of France and a woman specifically Newcastle. A bond was made as soon as I spotted them flicking through a much newer and less trashed copy of Lonely Planet and loudly pointed this out to Rachel. Lonely Planet does have a knack of bringing people together like this. I think we rested a whole marketing campaign on that fact once when I was working there.
Love it.
Because again, those capitalist instincts kicked in. a heartwarming sentiment. Make some money from it. Right. Fortuitously, this couple were in the middle of pretty much the exact same route through Chile as we were, but in the opposite direction, and so were able to dish out some hearty advice on hostels and activities in La Serena, our next stop, which we would be heading to by night bus in but 1.5 hours. And that's the end of the blog. Ooh.
End of the blog. Yeah, it was, I enjoyed that blog because it was of a nicer pace where we could expand on a couple of other topics, which is true to traveling, isn't it? Sometimes you have days where it's just absolutely go, 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 and other days you take it in. Dock of the Bay.
Dog of the Bay. It was one of those blogs where in and of itself it wasn't entertaining enough, and so we had to embellish it with other topics.
No, I like that though, because I think that is incredibly true to life. Otherwise it would be very, very tiring if we'd had just been like back to back to back to back to back. And I like talking to you about the surfing part, because I knew you had, but I couldn't quite pinpoint how or why.
Why? Yes, why is a great question, because I am terrible at surfing. I will just front that up.
It's a really hard skill.
I know, but that's not why I'm bad at it.
I much prefer water skiing, because you can hold on and go fast, and there's not much to do except hold on hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a weird statement.
Accessible. Okay, let's move on, shall we, to the best person we met / favourite memory with the person that wasn't each other section.
Yeah.
Rachel, do you want to
Yes, I am gonna answer. I definitely enjoyed meeting the two girls from Canada, and although it wasn't said in the blog, I'm quite certain that when we came back and we told them the story about Emily's iPod getting stolen, they said, oh well, we had our camera stolen and all of our pictures were, I think, either taken or they had backed them up. I can't quite remember which way round, but it really stuck with me, that story, and they were very kind towards us both, and they, I appreciated kind. That kindness. Yeah, it was very, yeah, very, they were sweet.
Very sweet. They were very kind and sweet. Yeah, that's actually good. I've written in my section that I don't have a lot of memories.
I can see what you've written here.
Well, I don't really have a lot of memories of a Kike that involved other people for some reason. Like, obviously I do vaguely remember those Canadian girls, but I don't remember them with any kind of like illustrative examples. But what, so I've given my my award of best person we met / favorite memory of the person that wasn't each other to Barney the dinosaur. He was firmly a feature of the Kike fun. And yeah, we do have a lovely picture of him, which I will gladly post.
Oh, we do? Doesn't really ring a strong bell.
No, I mean, it's not a great picture, shockingly. It is like kind of from behind in a sort of creep shot vibe. We didn't quite
get the
selfie.
Oh, I thought it was like a full on, yeah, selfie, like character meet and greet, but no. No.
Well, that would have been good. But I think he was quite busy meeting children, as he should
have been. Maybe Barney took your iPod.
Oh my God, Rachel, stop it. Don't wave these conspiracy theories in my face 12 years later. Because I will take it seriously. You know I will.
Oh no.
Tomorrow,
take it back.
Tomorrow at work in the office, like people will just, I'll be there at like 10 PM just Googling like Barney the Dinosaur's like current address or something.
Oh, no.
Where he likes to shop. His local branch of Whole Foods. So I'm like, I'm gonna intercept that bastard. Because I repressed my rage so successfully at the time. Because I wrote out my...
You don't press on.
I was like, it's fine, everything is fine. They'll come out 12 years later and I'm just like, I will have my revenge.
I've got a particular set of skills.
I have a particular set of skills.
I will get that iPod out. Oh, and you had to download all those songs all over again. It was quite the iPod. It was your little treasure. Bless you.
I know. I mean, luckily I did have all of that saved on my iTunes, if we remember the mechanisms of how it all worked at the time. But obviously I didn't have it to hand when I was travelling. So, But also, crucially, Rachel, I think what we've glossed over here, but we must actually remember, is that not only did I lose my ability to listen to all of my pumpin' music, which I obviously love.
Pumpin' tunes.
And was very protective over my pumpin' tunes. Mm-hmm. I also lost the 4 episodes of The Inbetweeners that I downloaded as an antidote to my homesickness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't like that.
That's the real tragedy of it all. The real tragedy.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, I'd love to say I'm over it, but clearly I'm not. So
no.
I'm going to spend the evening journaling about it. Journaling in a similar way of like, well, you know,
sketching out
these things happen.
Sketching up Barney the dinosaur in
just
dark
drawing
shades.
A sort of, yeah, me decapitating Barney the dinosaur.
Oh, with the
evening I've got to look forward
still
to.
Still stuck.
Yeah, the headphones still in.
Yeah. Oh,
like
my
Barney
goodness.
Jamming away to like Red Hot Chili Peppers or whatever bands I was like absolutely obsessed with at the time.
Oh, yeah. That band reminds me of you. That whole band in every song, I think of you.
Yeah.
Because I remember you once saying, I know every lyric to every song. And my God, did you prove that continuously over the trip?
I mean, that can't, that isn't
in a
true.
Hammock. You definitely said that, because in a hammock you
I know
all of the lyrics.
Oh my god,
song.
I'm absolutely not questioning my ability to make wild sweeping statements like that, but it's absolutely not true that I know every lyric to every song. This band have got like 12 albums, like there's no way. I mean, I know the lyrics to most of their songs, but every is a massive, massive exaggeration. Anyway, let's move on to the lesson we learnt.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. Shall I kick off with my little lesson? I have a little lesson.
I'd love you to.
Yeah.
Please.
So I think my lesson was, getting mugged out. Well, no, sorry. I'll change that word. Yeah, so when we were in the festival and your iPod got taken, it kind of threw me a little bit because we were close together the whole time. We had our bags right wedged under our arms and we didn't leave it lying around. And I was quite almost, I want to say I was quite impressed, really. I was like, wow, that was quite slick how they did it. I certainly couldn't do
put
that.
Some respect
have the skill.
On the skills.
Yeah, I was like quite, it was quite, wow. And it happened so quick that I didn't really have a chance to feel, I should have done more to have protected it. Because as you said, I think it just happened. And also having the whole passport thing happen, I was just grateful that we didn't have to go down that again. But I do recognise when I am out in public places, I still think of that moment. And I kind of do make sure that my bag's the right way round, or like all the zips are done up, and I'm quite like, I have it at the forefront of my mind, basically. So that kind of taught me about that, just being more aware of your belongings. Although I was all right with it anyway, but still think of it.
Yeah, I mean, it almost makes me think, like, because we just didn't notice it happening at all, it almost makes me think, like, did I just drop it somewhere? And I'm just like, because the thing is, like, obviously your mind goes to it's been stolen because you were in a crowded place and it's just something that happened. But I could very well have just dropped. I feel like I'm quite careful with my stuff, and I do, like, well, that's not true. That's absolutely not true at all. I leave my stuff in corners of clubs all the time. I absolutely, Rachel, you can attest
just
to this.
Just thinking of your terror, like your terrarium?
My terrarium.
Terrarium, yeah.
It's just finished. Well, I didn't leave that in a club.
Oh yeah. Like, oh, I don't have my jacket. Emily, you have your jacket in your club. Go, honestly, you can go and find it. You'll be cold. Oh,
yeah,
I don't care.
I do just leave my stuff. So to be fair, like, that is absolutely not true. I am really reckless with my possessions. So I could very well have just dropped it. But I think, like, we just sort of, you know, assumed it was stolen. But maybe
no. You are very tidy.
True.
You always know where your things are. You're like, yep, I know where that is.
I always know what corner of the club I've left them in, for sure.
Yeah, corner of the club. So that, yeah, I guess my lesson I would say from that is just being more aware of your stuff and to recognise that worse things could have happened, and it helps you build pretty chill. Emily, what about your lesson, my love?
Yeah, I mean, my lesson was, obviously, I've kind of gone into this already, but I complained at the time about the 90s video montage on the coach. But in hindsight, my love of 90s tunes has only grown stronger. And I wonder if it's just because of, like, being further away from the 90s that the music just feels all that much more, like, delicious. I do think the 90s is actually, I will say, possibly, and I'm going to say it, in my opinion, which is obviously correct, the best era of music that ever there was, because I just think every genre was really having a moment. Like, every genre was excelling.
You have said this.
90s golden era hip hop, absolute, like, is my absolute bae. Like, there's nothing better. 90s dance, incredible. Absolutely, like, the Hacienda, fucking amazing. Like, R&B was, like, kicking off. You've got, obviously, like, the pop scene was in its absolute heyday. Like, obviously, Britpop and, like, grunge and indie. I just name a genre that wasn't thriving in the 90s. Country music also was having a great time.
Scream, like, I just metal. Think...
Scream metal, Rachel, was absolutely thriving. Oh, thank
that
you
like
to do your research. But yeah, I think, like, that. So the lesson I learned, which is so tenuous, is that actually 90s music is the best music. And I don't know why I was such a little brat about being forced to sit through 4 hours of it on that coach. Because if someone said to me now, get on a coach, we're driving around aimlessly for 4 hours watching 90s music videos, I'd be on there like a shot. I would absolutely be front row. I'd be driving that coach.
Like that. I love 90s music. I adore 90s music. I just think my heart is a little bit more with, like, 2000 to 2010 is where, like, my heart is set alight. But oh my god, I have mad respect for the 90s. 80s, you love your 80s music?
I do.
It's never quite been for me. Apart from Michael Jackson, yes, all the time in the world. But, like, other bands, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, you and I think my dad and Chris have really made me like the music, if that makes sense. But that's kind of
from
my
the
80s. But yeah. Yeah, from the 80s, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, you're welcome. There'll be a whole 80s section at your wedding, which obviously I will be DJing.
Rach, to wrap up, it says. So I will wrap up. Thank you guys so much. So meta.
Oh my God, Rachel.
Thank you guys
I
so much
when
for
you
listening.
Just read out the instructions. It's so great.
It's so fun. It's so fun. You, of course, as Emily said at the beginning, you can subscribe, you can follow, you can share us with a friend, and you can follow us on Instagram at Gap Year Diaries Podcast. And yeah. That's why I re-said it.
Yeah.
Sing the G. Yeah, you can. Oh, you all right? You can stop by and say hello. Maybe give us your favourite 90s tune. We love hearing from you. We truly do love hearing from you. If you have any stories, please send them our way. And next week on the podcast, quite a special one. But we go to a observatory.
An observatory is such an incredible idea.
Observatory. I've really struggled with my abs and orbs in those words, like walk and work. I just really struggle with O's and A's sometimes. The observatory. We're gonna stargaze, all right? That's what we're doing. We're stargazing at
we're
the
gonna look at stars.
Stars. We're gonna look at stars. It's gonna be brilliant. I'm gonna get lost. It's gonna be fantastic.
Oh yeah, Rachel.
That's
gets
what
lost
happens
in this episode.
I do get lost. The, yeah, oh, yeah.
It's the first time in the whole trip that we get separated and can't contact each other because famously our phones have died.
You're spoiling it.
Sorry.
No, we'll get to that. That's fine. But yeah, we'll see you next week.
Will see you next week. I can't. Won't we? Yes, we will. I can't wait to record that episode because that was such a fun time.
I thought you were going to say I can't record it. I was like, oh, that's a bit of a shame.
I can't do next week actually. So sorry, that's a real shame. Thanks for telling me live on the podcast. If you'd like to give us a review, guys, in the meantime, which, you know, I feel bad asking for after that chaotic ending, but if you'd like to give us a review, please do give us the same number of stars as there are main food groups, and that is Rachel. Huh?
Five.
Rachel, God. Rachel just zoned out.
No, do you know what I had to do? I thought I had to like name them. So I was like, right, there's carbohydrates and there's protein. And no, I just had to say the number.
You're doing pretty well. Yeah, it's five. It always will be. It always has been. It's five. But yeah, we will see you next week, my darlings.
Yeah, see you next week. Oh yeah, no, talking to me. See you next week, listeners. So used to you calling me my darling.
We'll see you next week, listeners, darlings, and I'll see you next week, Rachel, my darling. Lots of love.
Love you all. Bye.
Bye.